Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Something like that. Well, I wanted to, while I get the opportunity, because this particular Sunday is our second Sunday, I want to utilize this time to recognize once again the tremendous things that God is doing through our church. So if you wouldn't mind giving me the occasion to present by way of responsibility because of the service that you trust us as a church, your church, so many of the ministries that we support and sponsor, I want to highlight in this missions report. And so it's my thrill to, first of all, just highlight a couple of things, and that is our missionary units that we sponsor. In a moment, we're going to be receiving our tithes and offerings, but I wanted to just let you know who we give and who we support as a church. So first of all, if you take a look, we give and support the Godwins. They're going on their 10th year as Hope Chapel Rosarito in Mexico. We're thrilled about that. Many of us have been a part of those GO teams going to support them. The next would be the Muellers, Jared and Kelly Mueller in El Salvador. Just this past year, they began church called Hope Chapel San Salvador. And we use a half of our general FMI or Foursquare missions contributions to continue to support them. And I do want to add all of our missionaries. So many of you contribute during our offering time and market for these missionaries, and we make sure it gets to them. And that's a thrill for us. Let me go on because there's quite a few others. The Griffiths as well, Johnny and Sarah Griffith and their three boys in Great Britain. We're excited with what they're doing to reach the people there in Cheltenham, England. The Bookers, John and Debbie Booker in Haiti and the Caribbean. We give as well $100. All of these, we contribute at least a particular sum of money. We have the Walt and Maribel Rijos, who are from HELP, or we call that Mexico Ministry, to the teen missionaries helping right there, especially the young children that are in the Baja Peninsula there. We have also the Iflins. We have Zach and Karis Iflin, Surfing the Nations, STN. They're coming back from Sweden. They've established a base there in Sweden, but they'll be coming back to Huntington Beach before heading to Hawaii. Tremendous ministry going on. We support $200 a month there. John and Maxine Vroman. John and Maxine Vroman, they are missionaries to the First Nation, the Navajo Nation. We call it Navajo Friends Incorporated. Support them with $100. Tremendous work that's going on there among the Navajos. We have the Forsythes. The Forsythes that are just doing tremendous breakthrough ministries called Run to Rescue or Human Trafficking, rescuing predominantly young people from the sex industry, and we thank God for them. $100 a month. The Horizon Pregnancy Clinic. Many of you have been a part of that. We've been having baby bottle campaigns and supporting them. The lives that have been rescued because of the sonogram and their mobile unit, letting some of our young couples, unwed couples, see these little babies and rescuing even those lives. $100 a month. Life Pacific College, soon to be university. It's our Foursquare Bible Institute. We give $200 a month. Many of you are students. I'm an alumnus from that. We're excited with what God is doing there as well. Foursquare Missions Press, $100 a month. Foursquare Missions, FPM, they produce a lot of our printed materials to our missionaries. We've utilized that on some of our missionary teams going out. We wanted you to be aware that we give $100 as well. And with that, the amount of effort that's being just really emphasized with, I would say, just printing presses that are out there in some of the more strategic areas that are from, it's just an amazing story there. Jesus Fund is another one as well. We contribute $400 a month to what we call the Jesus Fund. And that really kind of goes to helping some of our local churches, churches that may be not even a part of Foursquare, but it sure does help when some of us may go and support a particular church that may have 15 to 20 people, and we contribute 3 months worth, a $1,200 check. That's like a whole month's budget to some churches, and it's such a gift to them, and we're thrilled about what that looks like. But I wanted you to be aware of, as we continue to not only contribute to the ministries that are happening here at this church, but even globally. And we want you to be mindful of that, especially our guests who are here. It's so helpful for us to see and to understand and to recognize as well. I wanted to highlight a couple of things with regards to our local missions and ministry that are happening here. And if these individuals happen to be here at this second service, I want to welcome you to the platform with me. First of all, our missions committee, it helps serve your pastor. And Wayne Palika is our chairperson. Wayne Palika, Sean Hersey, as well as Jason Mendoza. He and Sarah will be sending our GO team to Nicaragua. So if you happen to be here, we welcome you to come on up. As well as Kathy Petruna, Rochelle Kuhn is a part of that missions committee as well. Carla Vizio is a part of that missions committee as well. And we're thrilled with how we continue to work with and planting our missions and helping support even simple things like celebrating our missionaries' anniversaries and our birthdays. Also, I wanted to mention, too, our Nails in His Hands. You can stay up here, Rochelle. I'm going to hopefully add a few more people. But our Nails in His Hands committee, we are going to be teaming up with Restore HB in a couple of weeks. Restore HB doing community outreach and cleaning up things. Restore HB is an outstanding approach where most churches here in our city will be doing cleanup projects like on the beach or in some schools. But our Nails in His Hands ministry is really chaired by Dean and Wendy Doak and Stacy Hardacre and Paul Birch. And so we're thrilled with what's going there. Radius 3, Jennifer Furtado oversees that ministry as well. So I don't know if you're there. You're welcome to come on up and join us. Drive Through Prayer, Denise Mitchell oversees that ministry. What is Drive Through Prayer? I hope you'll come through sometime in the morning, Monday through Friday, really 7 to 9 o'clock. We have people that just drive through, receive prayer, and some great miracles, and so we're grateful for that. Many of you have participated in drive-through prayer, where people just come by and let us know what their needs are. We pray, and it's outstanding what takes place. Chapel prayer every morning, 6 to 7 in the morning. Number of you are joining me. I'll just say, come see me. We do and accomplish so much by reason of praying for the ministries in our community and our nation. And I'm an advocate for prayer. Nothing gets accomplished except in answer to people somewhere praying. And I want to say you're probably here because somebody prayed for you even today. And if somebody say, well, nobody's been praying for me, Jesus has. Isn't he called the great intercessor? Making intercession for us, Hebrews says, right hand of the Father. Brown Bags of Hope's another one. We have Sean and Crystal Hersey have been our director as well. Outstanding ministry taking place. We distributed 450 brown bags of hope this last Easter with some hygiene bags. All went. It was an exceptional time. And I just want to let you know of the ministries. If you are not currently maybe involved in one or others, these would be outstanding for you to say, I'd like to be a part of something like that. Well, dear friends, thank you for joining me. I'm going to let you be dismissed and thank you for that. I want to now just highlight, because we do have life groups that begin this week, and let me highlight now just something that is even exceptionally important for all of us to be a part of a life group, which is a small group of 5 to 8 people. Some of our life groups are up to 20, and that's really too many. We really want small life groups that are healthy life groups, but we want to launch them today, and we've been enjoying them out there, our life group leaders, having you sign up for them. Let me invite them, if they're here, to the platform to join me. First of all, we have the Hannings, Nathan and Stephanie Hannings Life Group meets on Sunday. Also, we have the Perelznik's, Roger and Karen Perelznik, their life group meets on Tuesday. We're thrilled. We have another group, and that is Don and Hanya Galitzin. Their life group meets on Tuesday as well. We have the Aguilars, Arturo and Jessica Aguilar. Their life group now meets as well on Tuesday, and we welcome them up here. We have as well, we have Mark and Kathy Scheib. Their life group is meeting on Tuesday. And so all of these individuals, they have their names and faces on our ministry boards, as well as cards that show where their life group meets. We continue on, and I'm sorry, the Aguilars are on Wednesday. Please forgive me. So with that, we also have on Wednesday the Cowarts, Ben and Debbie Cowart. Their life group meets on Wednesday. And the Pickens, Melanie and Bob Pickens, their life group meets on Thursday. And so with that, we're thrilled. We want you to see these individuals. I trust them. I know many of you trust them. You go to their life group. If you're not involved with the life group, would you consider participating in one? These life groups will last for 12 weeks. If you're not too sure how that looks, we even inserted in the prayer request sleeve rules of engagement, what a life group is all about. And especially with this topic today, you'll see why it's so important to have confidentiality, growing together in Christ, so significant and so important. And we value their leadership, their eldership. Everybody needs individuals like them in their life. So I'm grateful for them. I'm going to just pray a blessing over this life group session. This is our number 3 session for the year. It will come to a conclusion at the end of June and take a summer off, but we welcome you. Please jump on in, be a part of, maybe even see through this whole month what life group feels fits better for you. You'll be glad you did. Let's extend that prayer of blessing. Father, we want to thank you for Hope Chapel and how you're bringing life to us, to our families, to our children, to this community, even beyond. And you're using tremendous, gifted, godly leaders like our life group leaders here. Lord, we pray a blessing and a grace over each one. And may this season find tremendous success, joy, and happiness for them, for their families, and Lord, for those that they minister your life to. Lord, we thank you for the dedication of their time, for many of them, their own homes and their own future, to help others find a tremendous growth and prosperity in the things of God. So, Lord, this is going to be a great season for Hope Chapel because of this dedicated group. Lord, we sure love them and value them, and those that assign themselves to follow their lead. Thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, dear friends. We're going to allow you to be seated. Let's go ahead and put your hands together for them. There's tremendous, tremendous. I'm going to welcome our ushers as they come forward now. It's my thrill. Thank you, worship team. One more worship song, too, and then we're going to get into the message today. If you are our guests, we want to just encourage you, please take a moment. Do not give anything, but the connection card would be just a gift to me to know not only that you're here, but a way with which we can be a real benefit and a help to you. And I do want to highlight that wonderful lady that I mentioned, my wife, Ainsley. Honey, you want to stand? She is helping to organize and direct our discipleship classes. And it's happening today at 3 o'clock. There's still time for you to sign up. Operation Solid Life Level 1 and Level 3 are happening. If you can just provide about 5 to 6 weeks, you're going to have a life transformation, because Jesus was the one that said, make disciples of all nations. And we take that seriously. So thank you for seeing Ainsley after the class. Well, let's pray that blessing over our gifts. I think you can see we are busy with things, and thank you for trusting us with that portion that God has given you. That's why we do and take the time we've just did. So, Lord, you know our heart, and thank you for bringing every good gift and every perfect gift down upon us. Lord, your word says that in James 1:17. Therefore, that portion now we give back to you. We consecrate this back to you. Use it for your glory. Let there be homes that are transformed because of this offering and your stirring of our heart to give to you. Be honored in all of it, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
And how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence, and I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. And better is one day in your courts, better is one day house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day.
Go ahead, let's stand up. He's been sitting for a while. Let's just honor the Lord with this song.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. A thousand elsewhere. And better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day. A thousand elsewhere. Better is one day, better is one day, better is one day, a thousand elsewhere.
Well, Father, we want to thank you for your word as we open up the word. Thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding. Lord, if we get anything today, it's going to be because you will it. We're asking. We're interested. We want to know. We like to see what you have for us because we trust you, Lord. And thank you for the refreshing that your word and your spirit, as they agree, just bringing us that point of just completeness. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to be seated. Thank you so much. And while we just get ourselves situated, I hope that you have a bulletin in hand and a Bible as well. You'll see in the back of your bulletin, there are outlines right there. We hope that you'll take some notes and take those notes right there to your life group this week. How about it? We would like to encourage you with that. Hey, it's going to be an outstanding experience once again. We have been in a Sunday series that's entitled God Loves People. We've been highlighting groups of people, how God loves them. And nobody loves people like Jesus loves. And today's message is entitled, Jesus Loves Addicts. Jesus Loves Addicts. I'm finding in my Bible, Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4. If you can, naturally, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke chapter 4, where I'm going this morning. There was a book out that was put out several years ago. The title was, My Name is Davey, I'm an Alcoholic. It was a 15-year-old boy. He did not think he had any problems with alcoholism until a female companion, same age, named Maxine, had convulsions due to her alcohol consumption. He realized, I've got a problem. It's a well-known book. It's interesting what we have here. We really do want to talk about addictions, addictive behavior. You say, well, why would we want to talk about? Because usually what ends up happening in churches, we do talk about it in church, but oftentimes it's marginalizing it or condemning it in certain behaviors, but we need to take a look at it because sin is never private. It always affects other people. It affects other people emotionally. It affects other people even physically. It affects people even spiritually. You can even look at maybe later 2 Samuel in chapter 11 when David, probably sexual appetite, or we could even say sexual addiction, when he had his affair, how's that, with Bathsheba. It wasn't just the two of them. It affected Bathsheba's husband. We had all of a sudden Uriah was murdered. And then Joab, David's commander-in-chief, all of a sudden he was jaded in his approach of things and conspired with him. And then we have David, his children grew up to say, man, is that the way dad models things? So sin is never done privately. That's why we take a look. Jesus loves addicts, and he has something for them to experience and to do. But to continue to repeat certain patterns can be detrimental. It was Albert Einstein, I think it's attributed to him. It's actually doing and talking about science, but he says it's insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes people with addictive patterns would say, well, it's going to be different this time. I'll just have one more drink and it'll be different this time. I'll have one more hit and then maybe I'll stop. There could be those that say, well, nobody's going to miss that money. I'm going to just kind of risk it again and it'll have a different result. It looks different. I'll just one more night on the internet and I'll be done. It'll be different tomorrow. Or somebody come along and say, I'm just going to go through one more shopping spree. I'm going to just stop my excessive buying or maybe binging this meal. That's it. I'm going to just get a healthier approach. But that repetitive, ongoing cycle doesn't stop. And Einstein said, man, that's insanity to think I'm just going to keep doing the same thing and eventually it's going to change. So what you do to repeat over and over and over again. And that word addictive or addictive behavior. The Bible doesn't use the word addict or addictive. It does in the old King James one time. One time it uses that word addictive. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 16:15. It's in a good way. It's talking about the household of Stephanus. Old King James, you know, the these and the thous. Says that you know the household of Stephanus. They're addicted to serving the saints. Isn't that amazing? They just can't help but do nice things for people. But there are other words that the scripture uses for addictive behavior. And one we find in our passage, it's captives or those who are in bondage. Let's look here. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. It's Jesus coming into his hometown of Nazareth. And he's handed the scroll of Isaiah 61, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, I just want to highlight because I've underlined it. It says, as his custom was. Can you see that there? What was his custom? Every weekend he was in church. That's what it says. Every Sabbath day, you'd find him in the synagogue. Wouldn't that be a great custom for Christians? Every Sunday, we see him in church, as my custom is. Let's go on. Thank you for listening to that one. Verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he said, man, this is now being fulfilled in your midst. He's reading Isaiah chapter 61. It's interesting, that word captive, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That word captive can say, we could say addicted. But it's those who are prisoners, ongoing behavior. Webster's dictionary says, addiction is a surrender of oneself to something oppressively and habitually happening. So when we look here for a moment, captive people, people say, no, I'm really my own person, but those patterns of habitual actions, they have no control over. They think they do, but they really don't. And Jesus says, I've got some good news. I'm proclaiming liberty to those who are captive. There are other ways with which the Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 6:12, where the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, man, all things are lawful for me. We know that we are now saved because of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection. Heaven is ours. We're free, man. I don't even have to go to church if I don't want to, because it's all through the cross. But he says, I'm not going to be brought under the mastery of anything. He sees though salvation in heaven, things can come that cause us to be entrapped or brought under the power. So that's 1 Corinthians 6:12. Heaven's one way, but people can be brought in. Now, addiction is always a present danger for every human being. Why? Because of something that's called the human flesh, our self, the old nature. My flesh craves things that, left unchecked, I would never do anything spiritual. It's the one that always says, you know, I know I need to get up and maybe talk to God a little bit, but he'll understand because I need to sleep more than I need to talk to him. It's our flesh that dictates what we should be doing. We have to be careful, and the Bible talks about how our flesh can really get out of hand. Ephesians 2:3, 1 Peter 2:11 talks about how abstain from fleshly desires which wars against our soul. And James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, write James 1, 14 and 15. I know you'll enjoy checking that out in your life group, because it says that each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So what may be very addictive to you, I have no problem with, but what I have a hang up on, you might have no problem with. It's where we can really help each other. But it's our flesh. We say, well, just why do I keep succumbing to that? Because your flesh longs for these things. In verse 15 of James 1 says, and when desire has been conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is full blown, James 1:15, it brings forth death. That's why we need to talk about addictive behaviors. Because nobody is going to do this by themselves. It affects everybody. So when Jesus picks up the scroll, he says, man, this is it. God's anointed me for this group of people, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. So since Jesus is here, but what if the Lord were to come in physically here? What if he were to come in and start looking around? He'd say, yeah, I'm looking for you. I came for you, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive. You're the one I'm looking for. You're the reason why I came. God's favorite people. God loves the addicts. He's all about that. It's important to him. So when we see here, we see so clearly, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Gospel means good news. That's good news. What is that good news? The Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 3. The good news, he says, is Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and on the third day rose again. That's the gospel. It's good news. Now, some Christians somehow take it the wrong way. They take the good news and start telling people bad news. But man, Jesus says, I'm all about good news. I want to tell you some good news today, how it is to be set free, to be delivered from those things that cause. God sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive. It's right there. God sent me to proclaim, I've got some good news to you. And that word captive in verse 18 is really what we're talking about. Jesus can't set people free unless they realize they're captive, unless they're bound by something. That's probably one of the most important things. It's like a marionette. If you've ever seen a puppeteer working the little strings, and the puppet says, I'm my own person, until the puppeteer decides to swing on that string and then their arms and legs start to move. Realize, well, maybe I don't have control over my life. And Jesus says, I've got some good news for those that realize they are held captive. I will set you free. So it's a special message, and it's important to us. Number two on our notes, Jesus has a good plan for addicts. That's important for us. Not only a message, but he says, proclaim liberty and to set at liberty, in verse 18, those who are oppressed. So it's one thing to say, hey, I've got a great message. I'm going to preach and tell you about it. It's another thing to say, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to set you free. And so when God starts to do that, there are those times. How will he do that? Well, let me just remind you. Often we have seen instantaneous people set free from addiction. That happens. And I think we could all realize and agree that God can do anything he wants. Isn't that true? Anything. But that's a rarity, the instantaneous setting free. Oftentimes, God says, I'm going to take my power, and with what I call a principle of cooperation, you just follow suit here, and you're going to walk in victory. It's just really like, if you can track with me for a moment, in the Old Testament, when God says, I've got a better neighborhood for you to live in, it's called the Promised Land, Israel. You can just take your whole family right on over there. It's a good land, isn't it? Yes, it is. But there is some problems over there you're going to have to kind of take care of. In other words, God could have just eradicated all the problems, but he let them have a cooperation, which meant, like for some of us, you've got to get your boots on the ground, pull out your sword. We'll just say the word of God. You actually have to engage in battle. You got to march through the land. For some people that are needing to be set free, there is that principle of cooperation. So the PowerPoint that we want to add here on our notes, you can see God might immediately remove the desire, but chances are you're going to have to go through the process, a healthy process, that God empowers. So let's take a look at that. I like to say just four sides that are going to be important. They're right there on your notes. And if you know that God is moving on you and you put your boots to the ground, God will meet you, and somewhere along the way, victory will come. First area is an accurate assessment of the addiction. Can you see that on your notes? It's right there. That is so important. Don't underestimate your addiction. It's a big deal. That's where many fail. They don't really assess how addicted they actually are. They never really address that. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, I can stop anytime, but they never do. All other problems that you and I will face will pale in comparison to that addiction. That addiction is number one. That addiction is most important. That is it. A true assessment, an accurate assessment, is so necessary. You don't get that, you're not really going to go very far, because you might just be kidding everybody, even yourself. One addict, ex-addict, actually wrote a book on it, and he says, it's interesting, when I went through the withdrawals, for example, like nicotine, it seemed like, man, all this drama's popping up in my life. Everything starts hitting the fan. Why, when I start coming off of alcohol or drugs or pornography, things intensify? Well, that's because you've been fooled by the addiction. Those things were there. Now you just realize it's just highlighted because you're more aware of that. That's why it's important to have a true assessment, an accurate assessment of the addiction. Another thing is overwhelming force. It's important when we look at our notes, using overwhelming force to quarantine that addiction. When we look at the aspect, the idea is if it takes 200 army men to conquer that hill, then let's get 800 army men to conquer that hill. Let's do overwhelming force to get the job done. Don't just say, I'm going to do kind of a little bit. That's important. If some of you are hearing what I'm saying and you're going to help somebody through their addictive behavior, it's going to be necessary. One alcoholic said this, that early on in my struggles was with the idea that I was smarter than everybody else. He goes on and literally says, yeah, I know there's people who are alcoholics, but I am smarter. I'm smarter than they are. You know, I didn't need to do the same kind of help they have to. And he goes along and says, I didn't need to really hang out in that rehab that long. I don't need to go to those meetings that many times a week. I just didn't, because I can handle this. I'm smarter than them. And the problem was he kept really failing, and the cycle continued until eventually his friend came up and said, you know, you're right. You don't need to go through that rehab for 3 weeks or 3 months. Man, you need a year rehab. And he said, that was true. That's what I needed. I needed to realize I needed a whole year away. Now he's walking it out in victory. It's important. That's important when we take a look at the element of the accurate assessment and overwhelming force, not just a little bit. Man, sometimes it's important to change your playground or change your playmates. Well, it's important. That's why we talk about life groups. You know, it's interesting. People just say, well, you know, I love God. I don't really need to go to church. Maybe twice a month I'll be good. And what ends up happening is those Christians fall away so far away, they kind of forget what happened to that first love mentality. So it's kind of in all of human nature. I'm smarter. I'm stronger. I'm capable. When in fact, we need the body of Christ. We really, and God works miracles as we associate with him and with each other. Let's take a look here. The other one would be zero tolerance. Zero tolerance because everything else in life will depend on your sobriety. That's important. It's an interesting element, but recovery is pass or fail. We must agree, I can never do that again. That's important because your relationships depend on your sobriety. Your valuability depends on your sobriety. Man, your effectiveness depends on your sobriety. And for those that have addictive personalities, you've probably said 1,000 times already, I will never go back again. I will never go back again. I will never. And so those patterns keep going. Zero tolerance. I just can't do this. It is all in, important. And fourth, a higher power. The element of higher power, and I say highest power on this one, only comes through our source, which is Jesus Christ. If you've been around recovery elements, you recognize the term higher power, but that's really innocuous. It really is kind of a nondescript kind of a thing. You just kind of would be out there picking and choosing whatever that higher power is. But man, Jesus is where it's at. Jesus is where it's at. He made you. He knows how it goes best. It's important that you say, I'm going to pick the love of God. See, addicts need to learn that God loves them regardless of performance. That's important. Can express that love to one another. That's important. But to learn how to stay in the power of the Holy Spirit, discover the quality of believers around your life, it's going to be so important. So addiction's like a virus. It's like a virus. It's, you know, viruses, bacteria really grow in the darkness. If you want to know who you really are, just take a look. Who are you when no one else is looking? That's the real you. So viruses grow in the darkness and they die in the light. Ultraviolet lights eliminate that. And in John 3:19-21, that Jesus says, man, the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. They don't come to the light because they don't want them exposed. And that's important for us. See, Jesus loves addicts. He's that source and wants to bring that strength. And it's important that you come to Jesus. People that live in darkness don't want to come to Jesus because it starts to expose things. John 3:19-20. It's like that leper. Remember the leper in Luke 5:12 when he comes to Jesus? If you will, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I will. But he had to still come.
And he just healed him. Boom.
So there's that need to come, that the highest power is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's important. I believe in him. I've seen him, what he has done in my own life. I know what he's capable of doing and what he wants to do in your life. And I want to bring up then our third point on our message, that Jesus has a good reputation among addicts. I like that. You find in Matthew 11, it's listed there. If you go to Matthew 11, you'll see something that, man, it was the Lord picked on, because we know this, that, like, for example, in Luke 15, 1, it says that the tax collectors and sinners drew nearer. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to hang out with him. Isn't that fantastic? There's something about Jesus. If you ever talk with addicts, and we're all capable of doing that, right? We all have that behavioral pattern. All of them would say, man, there's something that's compelling about Jesus. They like Jesus. It's interesting to note, though, that those that have addictions don't necessarily like the church or like Christians because they've been affected by that. That's important for us to realize that. But see, Jesus is for us. And that's important for you to hear me say that. See, Jesus is a friend, especially having a good reputation among the addicts. In Matthew 11, verse 19, Jesus was saying, hey, listen, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. He uses that little byword, that proverb, because the publicans, the elements of the Pharisees, were trying to use that as a ridicule. But he says, man, I'm going to use that as a badge of honor. Look at my friends here. They're all the poor, the broken, the captive, the destitute. Man. And to call Jesus wine bibber literally means a lush. That Jesus dude, he's an alcoholic. That's what they're calling him. Can you imagine? So when you look at this element, that people in addictions loved hanging out with Jesus. So as we look here, it's going to be important for us that we recognize once again, the religious people didn't want to hang out with. They would never socialize with people with addictions. They would never socialize with sinners, but Jesus did. Jesus wants to be with you and me. He wants to be with us. It's important that you're here today. It's important that not only you are here, but realize that we get a chance to be the heart of God extended, the hands of God extended. You realize that our theme this year is really God's love seen in 2018. And how that we recognize, as we look at our logo from last year, how that it is love your neighbor. Remember that? How will people experience the love of God unless you get a chance to see and to experience God's love first and then express that to somebody else? In John 13:34, he says, man, as I've loved you, make sure you love one another. It's an important day that we get a chance to express that. God's power to set people with addictions free. Remember, I've got good news. I'm bringing to preach liberty, to set those who are captive free. That's an amazing thing. I'm going to invite you right now. Let's just take a moment here, and if you would just close your Bibles, let's stand to our feet for a moment, shall we? Let's use this song as a way of the Lord to help us. We've been on a tremendous journey this series. That series, we've highlighted people like those who have addictions. We've highlighted how Jesus loves prostitutes and how Jesus loved criminals and murderers. Man, he never really isolated himself from anyone. God wants to experience that love through you, but wouldn't it be great that the love of God comes upon you right now? Let's sing this song together, shall we?
To soften my heart, to break me apart, I need you to open. open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. And all I am, yes, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, Lord. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. And I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, Lord. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Yes, I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me, Lord. Flesh may fail, but my God, you never will.
Such an honor to be with you this morning, and thank you. It's a privilege that we have that you're here. We don't take those things lightly, and we realize, may the Lord grant us a return visit by you, but this may be that moment that God wants to do something outstanding in your life. We realize God can do anything. So allow me to pray, and we will be having individuals up front here to pray. I will be up front here if, in fact, you need to address something. But get into a life group. Our life group leaders are ready for you. It's a very safe environment as well. But we need each other. Let's walk this element out into victory. And those who have victory in your life, please use your life to help those in our society. You heard our missions involvement. You see where we're going with communities and whole nations. May your strength and those elements of your victory be someone else's victory in the name of Jesus. Let me pray right now. Father, I want to thank you. What a joy it's been today. What an absolute great reminder that you loved us before we got our act together and all cleaned up. We love that about you, and thank you how your word says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we are still sinners, messed up, you died for us. So Lord, let the death, burial, and resurrection come upon all of us. Remove the dead zones, the waste places, the lost time frames that all of us have engaged in our addictions. Lord, give us new beginnings and a fresh start and a altogether vibrant life vision where we're going. And Lord, get our minds off of the past, the brokenness, the rejection, the shame, in the name of Jesus, get it out. And that, Lord, let the kingdom of God come. Because, Lord, we know this, there are people that really love us and want good for us. And now we change our life over to you, not just because we just need to do something better, but it's for the sake of others. That God's love would be seen through us, oh Lord, through the changing of our relationships, our businesses, our studies, and above all, Lord, the kingdom of God is ours. Thank you, O Lord. We thank you for your peace now, and that people are going to have a hope, an expectation. Jesus, you love us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. Thanks so much for coming.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.